So as I start my sermon, let me ask a question. How many of you have ever bought something because you are convinced of what was said in the package or in the box? It says there, premium quality. Or guaranteed, built to last. Heavy duty. Then 6 months later, you are looking for the receipt, hoping the item is still under warranty. So you look everywhere, you're exhausted, you're sweating, and then finally you found the receipt. But the sad thing is the warranty expired 3 days ago. So what are you going to do? Keep it? Dispose it? You know, here in Canada, when something breaks, they throw it away. But back home in the Philippines, it's a different story. I don't know about you, but a lot of Filipinos, I don't know, another culture, they have a hard time throwing things away. Not only back home, but sometimes here we bring that culture, right? We keep it. You know what? We have picture downstairs, older than church members, some church members. I'm not talking about small kids and young people. The men's and ladies, older. Yesterday, we were working here in the church. Some of the men, they work outside. It's too hot. And so we are out of bottled water. So I go downstairs and I ask, Ate Ani, we have pitchers here. You can put some water. Okay, I have here. So she looked at the cabinet and she gave us one, the orange one, the big one. Okay, use this. It's a Tupperware brand. And she said, you know what? That pitcher is older than Paula. Who's Paula? The girl we have, Sunday schooler Paula, or the young people? No. Paula, the youth coordinator, the son of pastor. What? So it should be in the recycle. No, that picture for that old. I don't know how young is Paula, but it's still there. Yeah. And we have also some Tupperware, the container one back home, that survived 5 presidents. You open, expecting you find food, but you found what? Needles and threads and scissors and Michelin tape. If a washing machine is totally damaged, they don't throw it away. Yeah? What do? It becomes a storage container. Nothing in a Filipino home truly retires. It just changes its ministry. Okay. Yet, no matter how much we love our old things, we want to keep it, eventually they wear out. You cannot keep it for long. Shoes lose their soles, clothes fade, cars wear out. No matter how you take care of it. And if we are honest, sometimes we ourselves wear out too, right? After years of work, after years of doing overtime, changing shifts or work schedules, paying our mortgage, raising children, taking care of our aging parents, facing health issues, busyness in the ministry, we feel spiritually, not only spiritually, but also physically exhausted. Do you agree with me? It happened. And we realized that life can feel like a wilderness experience like the Israelites. That's why Deuteronomy 29 verse 5, single verse, is so encouraging. Because the story is not about sandals and garments that would not wear out. Have you heard this verse before? You know, I asked my wife, have you heard this? And she said, no. She was so surprised. For 40 years, sandals. It's not worn off. Clothes. But it's not all about that. It's about God whose faithfulness never wears out. This morning, I want us to see that the same God who sustained Israel for 40 long years in the wilderness is the same God who is sustaining His people. This single verse reveals 4 doctrinal truths about God. Let's start. First, it talks about God's personal direction. Take note, personal. God's personal direction or leading. Verse 5, it says, I have led you 40 years in the wilderness. Did you notice there? God does not say, Moses led you. Or Aaron led you. He says, I have led you. He himself, I have led you. You know the verb led points to God's active direction and shepherd-like care. So take a look at this verse. I remember Psalm 23. He leadeth us to still waters and green pastures. Not even that. And yet though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, He is with me. He is leading me. You know, from God's perspective, every step was under divine supervision. This journey, the wilderness wandering, it's not a random wandering. It's not random. He was there. That's why we can also prove that He's leading them when He sent the pillar of fire by night and the pillar of cloud by day. The wilderness experience was not an accident or geographical accident. It was a theological classroom. There's a lesson there. God not only teaching them, but God also testing them, testing their faith. It's not an accident. If there's a doctrine that we learn from here in this verse, it's the doctrine of the sovereignty of God. What is that? What is sovereignty? Meaning, God is the supreme ruler over all things and has complete authority, power, and control over His creation. That's sovereignty. Nothing happens outside His knowledge. Nothing happens outside His permission or purpose. You know, Israel, often they thought they were wandering. That's from human perspective. They're wandering. But from heaven's perspective, they were being led by God. Every detour, every place that they pitched their tent or campsite, every trial was under God's sovereign direction. He said, I have led you personal. Many believers think that when life becomes difficult, they will say, God somehow lost control. But God often does His deepest work in the wilderness, in adverse circumstance, in struggles and trials in life. Perhaps you are in a wilderness season today. You may be facing illness, family struggles, ministry disappointments, unanswered prayers. Remember that God's guidance is not measured by your comfort, but by His purpose. There's a purpose. You need to learn to understand. You know, this is one of the great themes of Scripture. God is leading. I have led you. From the time of Noah, He led Noah during flood. People during that time, they don't know rain. They didn't experience rain. But he obeyed God. For how many years he built the ark. And because of his obedience, he followed God, trusted God. He was an instrument to save humankind and even animals and other creatures. God led Noah, Joseph, through slavery and imprisonment. Because of his obedience, he saved not only Egypt from famine, but also his family, the sons of Jacob, which comprised of the 12 tribes of Israel. He led and he followed. David, he was persecuted, but he obeyed God. From cave to crown, he became the greatest king of Israel. And here in this story, Israel, during their wilderness experience, as I've said, nothing happens in this world outside His sovereignty. Physically, financially, ministry, your relationships, career, He knows and He leads you. Just accept and submit to His sovereignty. Don't ask why I'm here, but ask Him, where are you going to take and lead me, Lord? Just like the Israelites. What is the purpose? What character trait do you want me to develop? Don't waste your trials. Learn some lesson. God is teaching us. Many believers are frustrated because they interpret their circumstances by their own understanding instead of interpreting it in view of His sovereignty. When trials come, they assume, oh, God abandoned me. Or maybe God punished me, that's why I'm suffering. But don't you know that God's people are often nearest to Him and clinging to Him in wilderness? You know that? A lot of people, the more they trust God during their struggles in life and trials. You remember the message I gave a couple of Sunday months ago about in Hebrews chapter 12 about running the race? Run the race that is set before us. As we run our race set before us, there are blessings. But there are also trials, right? So you have different trail to traverse set before you. For you, it's different. We have different. There are said blessings and trials. But it's very interesting. You know the word trail? The vowels there, A and I. If you switch it, what happened? The trial. And it's true. In life, in our life, in our experience, there are trials that are set before us. Sometimes as we run our race, it's easy and enjoyable. Those are blessings in life. Downhill, if you picture this one, because we love cycling, a lot of our men here. Downhill. We enjoy. Fun. Easy. But there are also struggles. We go uphill, hard and tiring. And also, there are dangerous, rocky, and technical trails. But if you are not careful, if you are not prepared, if you do not follow the trail guide or the trail master, you will fall. The trail guide is the key, especially if you go to a trail that you are not familiar with. We experience it. Men can relate to this. The GBC bikers can relate to this. When the trail guide will say, uphill, he will shout. The next one will say, imagine 12 riders on a single track trail. Technical trail, the trail guide, uphill. Everybody will get ready, passing it. Uphill, uphill, up to the 12th person, the last person, they will prepare their gears for uphill. When the trail guide say rocks or roots, they get ready. They brace, they hold the handlebar. Trees. The trail guide is the key until you reach your destination. Now, will you trust God's direction? Even when you cannot understand His destination. Faith is obeying God when the road ahead is unclear. That's the truth here. Faith says, I may not understand the path, but I trust the shepherd who is leading me. And I know He leads me. That's the first truth that we learn here. God's personal direction. The second one, it's God's persistent preservation. Persistent. It says in verse 5 again, 40 years in the wilderness. You know, a few weeks, it's understandable. Or few months, yeah, reasonable. But say 40 years. For 40 long years, it reveals here the enduring faithfulness of God. In Scripture, the number 40 represents what? Testing. It represents preparation and probation. 40 is symbolic in the Bible. I will show you. Moses spent 40 days in Mount Sinai receiving the law of God. Remember the tablet? 40 days. During the flood, the world experienced rain for how many days? 40 days and 40 nights. Jonah, when he gave warning to Nineveh, what did he say? 40 days and Nineveh will be overthrown. 40 days. Jesus Christ spent 40 days in the wilderness before he started his ministry. And then after that, he was tempted by the deceiver. Disciples for 40 days, they were with the Lord Jesus Christ when he resurrected Christ before Jesus Christ was ascended. How about the spies? When they surveyed the Canaan, the promised land, they surveyed it for 40 days. And here, in this story, 40 years of Israel's wilderness experience, it's a prolonged season of divine discipline and instruction and also preparation. If there's a doctrine that we learn from here, it's the doctrine of the immutability of God. What's immutability or immutable? Meaning, God never changes. God is the same yesterday, today, forever. His character, His purpose, His promises, His attributes, His perfection never change. Meanwhile, the Israelites for 40 years, they changed a lot. Not only their locations, from wilderness of Paran, wilderness of Sin, wilderness in Sinai. They changed location. Not only that, they also changed their leaders from Moses to Joshua. But the most important thing is they changed their attitudes. You remember in the wilderness, the people changed between faith and unbelief. They obeyed, and then they rebelled. And then they complained, they grumbled, they doubted, they disobeyed, and then they obey again. Obey, disobey, complain, and then punished by God, and then or discipline, and then they obey again. It's so on and so forth. But God did not change. Despite their actions and their attitudes, Moses, in Deuteronomy alone, he called the Israelites different terms. He called them stiff-necked people. Stiff-necked, like the gasang. Supposedly he's hard-headed. But here, hard-necked, stiff-necked, at the gasang liig. Stiff-necked people. He called them, you crooked and twisted generation. He called them stubborn people. He also called it in different verse, foolish and senseless. In another verse, he said, a nation void of counsel and there's no understanding in them. You know, many Christians are changed by their circumstances because of illness, because of marriage, difficult marriage, probably a prodigal child or a prolonged trial. The length of trials sometimes tempt the believer to what? To doubt God's faithfulness and goodness. But let's not judge His love by the duration of your suffering. Judge it by the consistency of His faithfulness. God is faithful. So that's the first two. God's personal direction, God's persistent preservation, and the third one, God's purposeful provision. It's very interesting in verse 5, the second part. It says here, your clothes have not worn out on you. Oh. This one was one of the most overlooked miracles in the Bible. You know the word here, worn out, means decaying and deteriorating through continual or daily use. Balu. Imagine 40 years, their clothes never worn out. What is the oldest garment that you have in your closet? You have 10, 20 years old? Probably because you don't wear it, you just keep it there. But here, take note, they wore it daily. Daily. Isn't it a miracle? 40 years? How about the size? We don't know, like, it's changing, right? But this is amazing. God supernaturally prevented normal deterioration here. It's a miracle. For 40 years, their garments remained usable. 40 long years. Imagine parents watching their children grow and continually finding God's provision, even through their clothing. You know what's the doctrine that we observe here? The doctrine of the providence of God. Providence. From the word provide. Providence. But not only that. In Greek, it's a providio. He sees it beforehand. Providence. Providio. He knows it. He watches it. Providence refers to God's continuous preservation, provision, and government of all things. You know, miracles such as the Red Sea, when it was parted, the fall of Jericho, the pillar of fire and the pillar of cloud, those are great miracles. It received much attention. But here, clothes that never worn out for 40 years, this miracle silently manifests or operates daily, simply, and ordinarily. I hope we take note of this miracle. Every morning, an Israelite awoke clothed in evidence of God's care. The God who preserved Israel's garments is the same God who supplies every need according to his riches in glory. And that's daily. And that we experience every day. You know, many believers, they overlook God's daily mercies because they are ordinary, unnoticeable. We don't notice it. That's why we don't give thanks to him. Every day there's a miracle. The air that we breathe. Can you imagine one morning when you wake up, you are not breathing anymore? No, that won't happen. You're dead. No. That's a miracle. You're breathing. You praise God. That's a miracle. Every day. The food on the table. Isn't it a miracle? Maybe you say, oh, because I work for that. I work hard. But what about your health? If God didn't give you that health, can you work? Are you able to go to work? The strength to work is a miracle. The ability to worship here. The freedom to worship. You know, there's pain, I'm not talking about those sickness, that terrible one or whatever kind of illnesses, but the simple one like having gouts and arthritis, you cannot come to church. Rheumatism, you cannot, right? Those are miracles. We praise God for that. The preservation of your family, because right now the number of broken marriages are increasing. But you are there. Your family is intact. There's love, there's joy, there's unity. You praise God for that. Because there's two sinners there, imperfect people, married together, what will happen? Chaos. Do not expect that your husband is perfect. He is not the same as before. Before I married him. your expectation, don't. You will be frustrated. Two imperfect people, two sinners married together, but God sustained you. There are no accidents. God's providence. They are providences. That's why we need to count our blessings. You're familiar with the song? Count your blessings. What's the chorus? Count your blessing with me. Count your blessings. Name them one by one. Count your blessings. See what God hath done. Count. Do it as an individual. Do it as a family. Do it as a church. Count. Let's count the blessings that we receive from Him. How much of your prayer life is spent asking for blessings compared to thanking God for His blessings that you already possess? Compare it. If there's a scale, which one is heavier, asking or thanking? You are the one who can answer that. We don't even give thanks for what we have, and now you're asking again for another one? You have there, they have only one shoes and one cloth. You have multiple. Sometimes you cannot make decisions because there's a lot. What shoes I wear today? What kind of a dress? Because you are there in your closet. But here, the daily provision of God. You know, gratitude is one of the clearest evidence of spiritual maturity and contentment. Again, first, God's personal direction. Second, God's persistent preservation. Third, God's purposeful provision. The last but not the least. Oh, almost finished. God's permanent preservation. It took one. This one is 1 hour. The last one. Just kidding. God's permanent preservation. Let's take a look at the second part of verse 5. Your sandals have not worn off your feet. Wow. Your sandals. Clothes not worn out. Sandals worn off. Worn out, worn off. You know the phrase worn off means consumed, destroyed through continual use. It's almost the same with worn out. You know, 40 years of desert travel should have destroyed their footwear. Extreme heat during the day. Those of you who went to Israel or going to desert places, extreme heat during the day, cold at night, plus the sand abrasion, and then the sharp rocks and stones, and then the sweat and salt buildup. It's made of what? Leather. Do you think it will sustain without the intervention of God? For 40 years? They're walking, they didn't stand by. They walk, they travel. Very hot sand. Cold, the changing of the temperature, it will expand and then it will shrink. And then the abrasions of the rocks and sand, and then sweating. For sure. You know, back home we have the flip-flops. After what, 1 year, we just fix it, put some stopper or nail before we throw it. Yet God preserved. You know, sandals are very important in the journey. Because you cannot survive walking in the desert without sandals. Not only the weather, the heat of the sand, but also the insects, the scorpions, other insects. It's dangerous. If there's a doctrine that we learn from this, it's the doctrine of the perseverance and preservation of God's people. Perseverance and preservation of God's people. You know, Israel survived because God sustained them. The story is not about sandals that are built to last. It's beyond that. The point is that God preserves what belongs to Him. They are His people, the chosen people of God. There are enemies, not only the weather, but also they are enemies who will attack them. But God preserved them, sustained them. The same also with us. We belong to Him. We are His sheep. In John chapter 10, 27, 28, He said, "My sheep hear my voice, and no one will snatch them out of my hand." The wilderness should have consumed Israel, yet God sustained them. The weather, there's enemy, there's danger from animals and insects, plus the provision, the manna, the quail, and water. Same also with us. The world, the flesh, and the devil seek to destroy us. But yet, God preserves His saints through His power, and no gates of hell will prevail against it. Amen? That's the preservation of God and His people and His church. Think about your own life. How many times your faith collapsed? How many times discouragement overwhelmed you? But here you are. You are still here. Preserve and persevere by His grace. Preserve and persevere by His grace. Not your strength, but by His strength. Not because you are strong, but because God is faithful. Stop focusing on your ability to endure. Start focusing on His ability to preserve. Our strength is not found in us, but in the God who keeps the believer. If you remember my last message, be strong in the Lord. Not you, but be strengthened by Him. Be strengthened by Him. And when it comes to our salvation, those of you who put your trust in Christ, we do not remain saved because of our grip on Him. Because we know, because of His grip on us, no one will snatch you from His hand. Preserve and perseverance of the saints. Now the question is, why did God do all this? Was it the purpose is just to perform miracle or magic trick with their footwear and their clothing? Why? Moses explained it here. The divine motive behind the unworn clothes and the indestructible sandals. The answer is verse 6. The second part of verse 6b says here, that you may know that I am the Lord your God. That's the answer there. That you may know that I am the Lord your God. You know the Hebrew word used here, know, the word know, in Hebrew it's yada. Yada is the same word used to describe the sacred intimacy between husband and wife. Sacred intimacy between husband and wife. So God kept their clothes whole, their stomachs full of manna, their shoes intact for 40 years because he wanted them to know Him not just as a theoretical, impersonal God. Same as Sunday school, do you remember? Not like that. But He wants them to know that He is a personal God, the personal God of their ancestors, personal Lord, their provider, their present help in times of trouble, that you may know I am God. And also that you may learn to trust the Lord. That you may have intimate and personal relationship with Him. That's the purpose. Why God preserved all those things. Why God provided them. Not only for the purpose of just preserving, but to know that He is there. God who cares for them. He wants them to have a personal relationship with Him. In 2019, Christian author named Johnny Erickson Tada marked more than 50 years in a wheelchair after a diving accident left her paralyzed at age 17. Humanly speaking, her plans and dreams wore out. Her physical strength often wore out. She endured chronic pain, cancer treatments, and countless hardships. Yet when asked about God's faithfulness, she did not focus on what she suffered. Instead, she often spoke about how God's grace had sustained her every day. And she once said, Johnny Erickson Tada said, God always gives us strength for the day, not strength for a lifetime. Every morning, God provided enough grace for that day. Amen? Enough grace for the day. You know the song, The Steadfast Love of the Lord? It's famous. It says here, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. That is exactly what Israel learned in the wilderness. God did not give them 40 years of grace all at once, lump sum. No. He gave them grace one day at a time, one step at a time, one sandal at a time, and the same grace and mercy that He gave us every day, one at a time, one day at a time, and they are new every morning. Perhaps some of you are carrying burdens today that no one else knows. You are tired. You are so discouraged. You are hurting. Maybe you are wondering if you can keep going. You want to quit. But listen carefully. If God kept a nation alive in a wilderness for 40 years, millions of them, estimated more than 2 million. If He can keep those people, He can keep you through tomorrow. Amen? If God carried them through the desert, He can carry you through your trial. He can. But here is the question, will you trust Him? Because many people, they want His provision, but they don't want His direction. Many people want God's blessing, but without submitting to His lordship. Many want to go to the promised land, but they don't want to follow God in the wilderness. They want shortcuts. One day, your career will be over. Your accomplishments will be forgotten by many, but one thing will matter. Did you trust and obey God? Do you fear the Lord? When your life is finished, may it not be said, oh, that person, that brother or sister had much talent or they had much success. May it be said, they followed God through wilderness. They don't quit. They trusted God when they don't understand Him. So church, do not quit. Do not turn back. Do not measure God by your circumstance. But instead, may we learn to trust and follow God even if we don't understand. There's a song by Bobby Mason. The song is entitled Trust His Heart. Maybe some of you are familiar with this song. The chorus says, God is too wise to be mistaken. God is too good to be unkind. So when you don't understand, when you don't see His plan, when you can't trace His hand, trust His heart. Because He knows the master plan. That's the leader. And He holds the future in His hand. And as the pathway grows dim, and you can see He's there. Just or learn to trust His heart. Look behind you. you will see God's faithfulness. Look around you and you see His provision. Look ahead and you see His promises. Therefore, keep walking, keep trusting, keep obeying Him. The wilderness is temporary, but God's faithfulness is eternal. Amen. Let's close in prayer.
The Lord be gracious, gracious.